Hello, Big Interview fans. I'm Chris, a producer on the show. You're about to hear a little bit of Graham's chat with Watford captain Troy Deeney, an extract in which Troy will describe brilliantly what it's like to play against celebrated centre-halves Martin Skirtle, John Terry and John Stones. He will also explain why he thinks Liverpool's Virgil van Dijk is the best defender in the Premier League today. This tasty chunk also includes tips on how to play striker, as Troy passes on the lessons he learned from none other than Gianfranco Zola and the seven steps he took, literally, to become one of the top finishers in England. You won't get this kind of insight anywhere else. If you want more and want to listen to the full hour-long Big Interview with Troy, then it's time to become a socio. Sign up and subscribe at patreon.com/GrahamHunter and unlock the full podcast instantly, as well as our archive of over 50 Big Interviews and special episodes. For just £2.99, you will also help to ensure that we can continue to bring you the content that you love. Anyway, that's enough from me. Here's Graham Hunter.
Since you came up to the Premier League, give me four central defenders with whom you've liked the battle, but in football terms.
Yeah.
You know, you'll obviously choose, but I'm looking at your jousts with... I'm cheating because I read one about your Liverpool man, Skirtle. Yeah. I'm interested about who we watch and we try to learn from. I'm also interested, like, what does a striker do or look? Where's your peripheral vision?
Every day you're training, looking over your shoulder, making sure you know if the ball comes, he's already there. Mm. It's just part of training the mind every day for that kind of battle, I suppose. But, you know, the Skirtle one was very interesting because this is, again, being a bit naive coming into the Premier League, trying to prove myself. And he always struck me from the outside looking in as the hard man. Mm-hmm. So in the build-up to that first game at home, I was like, let's go. It was like an old school playing... I was 16 playing overage football. Mm-hmm. So when I'm playing against the big guys, I'm like, I'm going to show you what I'm about. And I remember hitting him just shoulder to shoulder, and I whacked him the first one, brought it down, passed it off. I was like, oh, that weren't that bad. But I'm thinking the second one, he's definitely going to whack me to let me know.
Give you one back.
Yeah, the second one comes. Everyone's got time. Uh-huh. He backed off. And I was like, oh, I've got you now.
Two challenges in.
Yeah, two challenges in. He backed off because obviously he must have thought, oh, I can't physically move this guy. So then he backed off and tried to read the play. And I was like, oh, I've got you now. And that was literally it. And I think after 32 minutes, he came off injured. And, you know, genuinely, I hope he was injured. I'm not trying to say he wasn't injured. I think he was injured because he missed a few games afterwards. But, yeah, in that little 5-6 minutes, I'd realised, oh, I've got him. And the way we used to play then was very much Ighalo on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. We'd try and play football, but if not, especially against Liverpool in that game, we'd jump the press. So we play from the right back or the left back into me. So it's either if it was under pressure, help it on. Iggy's on the shoulder.
He's going already.
He's going, yeah. Or bring it down and we start the play from in their half.
Dependent on whether they were right on you or whether they give you that room.
Exactly. And within 2 minutes, well, 4 minutes, we was getting it down and we was playing and we ended up beating them 3-1 that day at home. It was a real good day.
What about Stones you've played with?
I like Stones, yeah.
Terry you've played with, played against, I mean.
Yeah.
Van Dijk, Cahill, Bailey. Okay, well, pick your story.
Virgil's the best, by far. 6 foot six.
Yeah,
quick, confident with the ball at his feet. Doesn't mind a physical battle in terms of, I think, again, coming playing at Celtic, playing at Southampton, he's had to be more dominant. And I just think I think he's the closest thing we've got to a complete defender at the moment in the Premier League I'm talking about.
Is he a talker?
Non-stop. Not towards me, but like to his the communication, I think, is massive when you're a defender. Mm-hmm. Especially now, in the way the game's going, everyone's trying to jump and press high. And there's the little things of left shoulder. Oh, he's on your right. Whoa, watch it, stay back. These little things that people from the outside wouldn't really see, I think he's going to make a huge difference to that Liverpool team.
I've always wondered, if you're hearing a defender like that, whether he's good, really good, or whether he's just okay, and he's communicating left and right, does that give you little pieces of information that you can soak up and use as well?
Yeah, definitely, because if you get someone that's very responsive in front, so let's just say you had an old-school Claude Makélélé, I would imagine, him and JT would have had a massive...
So you're talking about the player who defends the centre-half.
Yeah.
You're talking about the organising midfielder.
Yeah, the guy that's not really going to move too much. He's just there to break up play and give it to, you know, being disrespectful, give it to the better players. That's how they do it. And you could see after the first couple, he's got a left shoulder and he goes like that. You'd probably go there and then try and get it on your second on the second run. So the first one would
just
be...
show.
Yeah, first one would be there on your left. The guy would move and then he'd run in on the right. But what that also does for me as a striker knows that the centre-half's worried of me getting it to feet. So 9 times out of 10, he's going to come pressure from the back. He's going to try and get as tight as he can for the first one because he's trying to get that extra protection that he can come, just nick it in front. They take it away and it looks like he's done great defending. So if you hear that, I'd probably go short and then spin him behind the first couple of times just to make the gap and...
To teach him to stay off a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, so if I hear him start screaming and shouting, like, basically, it's quite a help, you know, left shoulder, right shoulder, I'll come short and then spin in behind 2 or 3 times. Probably not going to get the ball.
You need somebody from midfield, whoever it is,
yeah,
to read you, to know that, give
exactly.
you a quick and hot, straight to your feet short.
Yeah, definitely.
When you've come the little run, somebody's just got to understand that from your team and give you exactly when and where you want it and allow it and give you the right side for your spin.
But all of this as a striker all comes down to communication and learning day to day, knowing people's traits. So if I know Will Hughes is a perfect example, I think he's going to be, you know, I don't want to put too much pressure on, I think he's going to be an England international in the next
year.
You can see
his talent. You can see his talent.
His brain for football is frightening. But his first thought as soon as he's got the ball is, where's the striker's run? So I know when he gets the ball, I can run because he's looking to slide that pass in. Don't get me wrong, he's then talented enough to go, nah, it's not on, we'll keep it. But I saw it, keep going. And then he'll try and do it. If he had a bit more pace about him, I'd be surprised if he'd be here for much longer.
Mm-hmm.
But he's frightening. So you start building relationships up with people. Mm-hmm. And as a striker, I think, especially in today's game, your right back and your left back are key. For they're the ones who are going to be putting crosses in, especially from my
because
side.
Most midfields are packed
inside,
and tight and
yeah.
blocks, and if one or two overlaps, they become they're not, you know, maybe wing backs, but they're almost like wingers.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and the way the game's going now, we're looking at the physical attributes. So it's more they're normally quick, they can get up and down, and you know they're going to put 4, 5, 6 crosses in. So Hollabas, for example. He goes there, 9 times out of 10, it's coming first post, hard and fast.
Whoa. If football's a game of intelligence, what's this 9 times out of 10? Who dictates that now? Does he look at your run?
Depends where the ball goes.
Or do you just automatically know if he's up there?
So, very simply, if you're talking from the edge of the 18-yard box to the byline, if it's from the 6-yard box back, it's coming first post. Anything past that, he's standing it up to the back post.
How often is there a cutback in that routine?
The way that it's going now, it's why you're seeing a lot more number 10s and midfielders getting.
So let's
involved.
Say he's up there, he's made the run. You'll show front post, but he'll slide it back and suddenly Hughes is arriving or whoever it may
be. Yeah, you normally have somebody coming in from behind, but also your responsibility as the striker then is to make sure you've done that front post run.
To draw as many as you can.
To pull the defensive line back and then open that space up because 9 times out of 10, midfielders aren't naturally defence-minded. You know,
so
a lot of people won't, you know, I don't think anyone likes facing their own goal being 12 yards out.
Yeah.
So that's where your mistakes
come. You
can put
it top corner, can't
exactly.
you? Your own goal.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the third time I've taken a chance in this interview.
It's all right.
Whoops.
You threw me off. Oh yeah, sorry. And you can do your front post run, but then either you get someone coming in and scoring, or even they clear it, but the next time the defender goes like that, and you've got the 5-yard space for a post.
So that's Van Dijk. Stones, you I don't know why you immediately said, "Oh, I like him."
I like him. Just because of the pressure he was under.
You're talking about the human response.
At Everton, I think he was just. He'd just come in, he'd had a good start to the season. City was in for him, United, literally everyone, it was in the paper, everyone wanted him. And we played Everton first game at their
place. First game on promotion, having been promoted.
Yeah. First game at their place. Mm. And I just saw someone that just went, give me the ball. I'm not worried about any of this. I know I belong on this stage. And I had Roberto Martinez, and so they were playing that brand of football out from the back. And I just thought, fair play to you, because he was up for the physical battle from his Barnsley days, but then also he had this grace. There's not many centre-halves that when they step in, it's just natural for them. Like, you'll see a lot of them will step in and then they start taking these little steps going, I'm out of my comfort zone.
I might be imagining this, but like, I see him very much like a meerkat, because as he's stepping out, the ball's there and he knows where the ball is.
Exactly.
And it's like a little periscope. He's looking. Yeah. His body shape is really not hunched over protecting the ball. It's like, it's tall and it's erect and he's looking out. Then he's got to make the right choices.
Of course,
then his technique's got to, and then he's got to show to get it back, etc.
I think the big thing about it is, though, whenever he makes a mistake, you never see him go, oof, I'll just kick this one. It's all
like,
right.
It's like your early point about having a football philosophy as a group.
Yep.
And if you're going wrong, you go back to, well, what aren't we doing? You've got a Bible.
Exactly.
He's got that.
It's ingrained in him. Right, this is what I'll do. This is what I'm about. If I make a mistake, he'd probably go into a game going, I'm going to make five or six mistakes. Hope it's only three. Do you know what I mean? Or I hope it's not the one that they score from.
Do you agree, as a captain and a leader, that if he's that good, there'll be people around him going, well, if John's making mistakes, I'll be on my toes.
Yeah.
So that, you know, he's on the ball, but there's a group responsibility for what happens.
Definitely. And then that comes back to your framework and your shape in terms of, you know, basic defending, which I think that's a dying art now as well, in terms of if one of your centre-halves comes out, it's natural you come top round, but the way that the game's going now is your centre-half comes out, your two wing-backs bomb on, and 9 out of 10, you're 1v1 at the back with the striker. So, you know...
happy days.
Yeah, well, for the fast ones, not for me. I normally set it and then run into the box and hope for a cutback, but I think that's just the way that the game's going now, and that's why we're seeing a lot more goals. Not based on people are not good footballers, just the basic art,
shape,
that died down.
Decisions, rigour of defence.
How many people do you see now? We've got one here, Adrian Mariappa, loves defending. Mm. If we won 6-0, he'd be more happy that they kept a clean sheet. And he celebrates our goals as if he scored. He's that old school, take one in the face. He did one once today, to be fair, took one in the nose, it was brilliant. That old school, we have to score. And even when they score, it kills him. Do you know what I mean? It really hurts him that, I could have maybe got over there. And even if it's not his fault, it just hurts him that people score, and that's in training as well. And I don't see that.
Did you see Chiellini against Spurs at Wembley?
Are
we talking about the same thing there?
Buzzing off that, because I'm thinking, any young kid watching, and this is what doesn't only because the celebration with him and Buffon afterwards, it got more media coverage, but we don't go, that's proper defending. That's why he's 30 plus, I don't want to be rude, but 30 plus years of age, still at the top level, still being picked, because he knows his game inside out. I defend, we win, job done.
Then let's finish on, I don't know, you maybe had one game or two games against him, but Terry.
Same. And I think you look at Chelsea since he's left, it's not been the same club. And I think, you know, people can make the argument he might have been old, his legs were going or whatever, but there's a big thing of having that presence, that stability, and mine's on a much lesser scale. But even if I'm not playing, I'm our biggest cheerleader. You ask anyone, the lads are telling me, shut up. Like, you know, I'm on the bench screaming out, barking instructions.
Yeah.
Not because I'm sitting on the bench going, oh, I hope he doesn't score. I'm thinking, well, if I'm here, we all win. Let's win. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it moving. Because I've always said this as well. I want my legacy for what, even if it ended this summer, I can say, when I joined this club, we were 16th in the Championship under Malky. Very small budget. A lot of young kids in the first team that, you know, got games but probably wasn't ready in an ideal world. And when I've left, we are now, I think we're 10th in the Prem at the minute, we're 10th in the Premier League. And I can look back at that time, never mind the goals and the games. In that period, I was a huge part of where we was at. And that for me is enough.
It's achievement.
Yeah, but it's a personal, that's what we did. Again, this is mine, this is what I want.
Yeah.
And this is what we did, and that. And I think if you look at John Terry, you can see since he's gone, I wouldn't say something's died at Chelsea, but they lost Lampard, lost John Terry, lost Cech. That whole spine of the team's gone, and now they're searching for it. And you'd probably argue they've never really replaced any of the three, but Courtois probably be the goalie, but he's talking about leaving and stuff as well. So are you going to have a longevity again? Are you going to, is there anyone in that Chelsea team you can build around?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Gianfranco was the manager. He's a steely guy who had a brilliant club and international career, and because he's a nice man, people forget that it was technique and hardness.
Yeah.
He is famously, he's a decent person.
A very good person.
Yeah.
Legend of a person. Brought my game on 50-fold.
Teaching-wise?
Yeah. Taught me small things, little steps before a game. So I used to hit everything really hard. But I used to take a big stride. So if you can imagine the ball being a couple of yards in front, I used to go one big stride, whack, and it'd go here, there and everywhere. And he used to compare me to Jimmy Floyd, but he said what him and Jimmy used to do all the time was, if it's same distance ball's 2 yards away, try and get 7 little steps in.
Gosh.
So we said, can you pass the ball 20 yards? Be like, yeah, no problem, do it then. So big net, pass, every time score. So why, when you try to shoot from 20 yards, are you whacking it? And then you go, oh, yeah. And then you go, right, 7 steps before. Yeah. And all that does is it just gives you more control.
Yeah.
And you kind of walk in through, then you got plant your foot. There's your 7th. On your 7th one, you know you're hitting the ball. And he just broke it down so much like that.
Man.
And I went from, before that, I'd never scored 20. I think 14 was the highest in League One I'd ever scored.
Mm-hmm.
I scored 20 that season, 25 the season after, 21 the year we got promoted. And he's just kind of snowballed.
Were you open to his teaching because you were grateful to him, or open to his teaching because you kind of said, you know, I've still got so much in me, I can go to the top?
A bit of everything, but also you'd be stupid to have someone of that calibre and not ask questions. Again, it goes back to the inquisitiveness of myself. Like, Gianfranco is only like one of the best foreign imports we've had in this Premier League history. And he just had that openness, like, come and chat to me.
Brilliant.
I want you to come and talk to me. Do you know what I mean?
That's a resource.
Yeah, and it was very good. I think the reason we were so successful with the Watford team is not only did you have good players, like, say, Matty Vidra, Marco Cassetti, people like this, you had myself, John Eustace, Fitz Hall was in, Almunia was in goal. So you had real, I'd say, English determination. So he had the freedom. If we played a Wolverhampton away, he would try to play football at the time. We could play all our foreign boys because we would just pass them off the park. But then also when we had to play Leeds United away,
I knew you were going to say Leeds.
Yeah, Leeds United away, and you know it's going to be dodgy. Right, all you English boys are in, and we could just sprinkle the foreign talent on, and that's why we were so successful.
It worked for you because you were really good goal scoring record against Leeds. You always seem to.
It's my dad's team. That's why. So I always think mentally there's something that happens.
That was in your head?
It hasn't been in my head, but it must be. To score, I think I'm on 8 or 9 against Leeds.
9
against Leeds. And it must be. I remember going to Elland Road with my dad to watch Lucas Radebe's
testimonial.
Yeah. So
hell of a guy, strong man.
Yeah. Chief. That was his nickname, wasn't it? Chief, yeah.
Spot on, yeah.
Yeah, so I remember going and watching that, and I remember going, I think it was like, that was a packed house as well then, I remember. You go and watch that and you think, oof, this is a proper football club. So I don't know whether that's in my mind every time I go there.
And the competitiveness.
Yeah, well. And I'm like, right then, let's try to show up. I've scored an own goal there as well, which no one talked about.
I didn't know that. Maybe that's in the 9.
Yeah.
I do my stats, you know,
yeah. No, definitely not.
No, it's 9 plus 1, don't worry.
No, it's all right. It was an own goal. I was facing that way. Somehow I put it in the top corner behind me, so I was facing away. Went to volley and he went straight in the top corner. We lost 2-1.
Okay, that's a bad story, but I suppose if you're going to score one, it may as well be top corner.
It was
right?
Good. It was a good goal. It was a strange one. But if you can look yourself in the mirror, you don't mind talking about it.
We hope you enjoyed that slice of Troy Deeney. To listen to the full interview, then go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter. That's patreon.com/Graham Hunter, and hit subscribe to become a socio. For just £2.99, you'll unlock our big interviews with Troy, Kevin Colban, Roberto Di Matteo, Celeste Ferdinand, Jermaine Defoe, Super Kevin Phillips, Ledley King, the list goes on. You'll also be helping to keep the big interview alive and well and producing the content which you love.